Hey girls, and welcome back to another episode of Christian Girls Pop. I am super excited for this episode. We have been launching a new series called Sunday School Stories, and I can't wait to share this moment with you. This is going to be amazing. I can't wait to let you hear what my dear friend Tori Slaughter has to say as we go through the story of Elijah feeding the ravens. But before we get there, let's back it up just a little bit. So Sunday School Stories, this is going to be a year-long podcast series where we just go through the Bible. These are stories that you may have heard if you grew up in Sunday school. You've heard these stories and maybe you just thought, it's just a story in the Bible. I want you to know that the Bible is alive and well and so relatable and so applicable. And there are so many great things that we can still pick from these stories. And a lot of us, we've lived these stories out in our own lives as well. So I can't wait for you to hear all the testimonies, all the stories that we will be listening to each week as we go through Sunday School Stories. So that is the theme for 2023. And today I have the amazing opportunity to have my dear friend Tori Slaughter on this episode. This is a friend of mine. We've been friends for over 4 years and we have done ministry together, life together. And if you went to last year's Selah retreat, she actually was one of the speakers there that helped lead some of the events at the retreat. So this is no stranger. You may have heard her on the podcast as well. We've done several collaborations. She has her own ministry, Our Giving Purpose, and she also puts out daily content, and it's daily devotionals to help you get into your word and to learn more about God. So this is my friend. She's a mother, a wife. She literally does everything. Anything that you can imagine, Tori does it in some form or fashion. So Tori, welcome on. I'm so happy to have you.
Oh, I am super excited. And you know, I always say I'm going to try to hold back my geek a little bit because we know you have finally found out what full geek mode is. So I'm going to rein it in for the ladies. But I am so excited just for how God has moved within you to do this type of series. It's so needed and so important and so essential. So thank you for doing this type of ministry and bringing new life into the Bible stories that people are like, okay, Joshua, Battle of Jericho, blessed. Okay, what wall, where, who? Okay, but we're giving it new life. You are bringing new life into it. So for that, I am applauding you. Okay, yes.
So tell them a little bit about yourself before we get into the story.
Oh, I think you did say it all outside of, I don't do everything. If it was not for God doing it within me and me probably doing some stuff that God didn't tell me to do, hallelujah, I wouldn't be in some of the positions that I'm in. But I am grateful for restraint and self-control. That is one of the things that I am working through right now. I do not have it all together. I'm doing a lot of things as I'm learning how to be a better human being, to show more love. And I guess the one thing I will share is that I just found out recently that apparently patience is like one of the first definitions of love. And I wanted to rebuke that somewhere deep in my spirit. And I will be the first to tell you that don't pray for patience because it will be tried. And the Holy Spirit had to show me, no, we need patience because love is patient. So that's what I am. That's the season I am walking in right now, is to learn to be more patient, not only with myself, but with others, and even in traffic and driving. Glory, hallelujah to his
name. We still working on that over here.
We working. But, you know, the Lord has put a new song in my heart when I get irritated. And I know I'm a work in progress. So thank you for your introduction. And yes, I am married to the most amazing person on the face of the earth. We can fight about it if you want to. But I am just so grateful, realizing now, just seeing the journey that we've been on. That part. That's a whole nother podcast, but I'm just so grateful for where God has me.
I love that so much. And I'm super excited for just what you have to share about your story with Elijah feeding the raven. So before we get into this teaching, as we would say, let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that the listeners and the watchers, I pray that they hear what Tori is saying, that they realize that there's hope, that there's a new life in Christ, that there's provision, protection, and all the other things that you bring. We can find it all in you. So I thank you for that. I thank you for how you would use this time. And we just look forward to the testimonies that will come forth for those that decide to step out in faith and do the things that you're calling them to do as well. So we love you. We praise you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we are going to be in 1 Kings chapter 17. This is where we're reading of the story of Elijah feeding the ravens. And what we do with these Sunday school stories is we don't necessarily go every single verse by verse because there's so much. The Bible can be so deep. So what I want to do is give you a recap of what the story is, a quick little summary. Tori's going to provide some background context to help you understand it as well. And then we're going to get into some of Tori's story of how she can relate to this. So in 1 Kings chapter 17, starting right there in verse 1, it says, now Elijah, so this is the prophet that we're going to be discussing. So a prophet is just a messenger that is sent by God to deliver a message to a people, a group of people, one specific person. So Elijah was the chosen prophet, and he was chosen to go and deliver a message that there would be a drought. This was part of judgment that God was pouring out because of sins that had been committed. And so Elijah goes, he delivers the word. And so then God calls him away. So the drought, you can imagine, especially in biblical times, that's huge. A drought means that there will be no crops, no agriculture, the cattle, the livestock, they will suffer because they're not eating of any plants or nutrients. And so this is causing a problem for all sides of things. And so this is the judgment, and God calls Elijah away. And this is the cool part. So if you look at verse 3, he tells Elijah, depart from here, turn eastward, hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is the east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. And that's amazing. God, like in two different verses, we see complete opposite things happening. God just delivered this judgment. Hey, there's going to be a drought. Everyone is going to suffer. You flip the script and he says, but Elijah, I got you. I got you. Come away. You will drink from the brook, even in a drought. And I've commanded ravens to feed you there. So he went, verse 5, and did according to the word of the Lord. And then, to sum this passage up, the ravens brought him bread and meat every morning, every night, and he drank from the brook. Elijah was good the whole time. He didn't lack anything while other people were in lack because of the judgment of their sins. Elijah had everything he needed. So that's the summary that we see here. Tori, what would you like to add to this story?
I just want to start honestly with the whole ravens being the delivery vehicle, because that was the first Uber.
Yeah.
That was the first Uber Eats.
Uber Eats.
That's what's up. I mean, honestly, that I read that differently this morning as I was looking for the other relationship with ravens and where did they start? Because I said, okay, God didn't use ravens. This was not the very first time. And actually, it comes in Genesis, I want to say it's chapter 7 or 8 with Noah, and how he sent out the raven to see if the land was dry enough for them to actually come out of the ark. So ravens feeding, I mean, okay, if we had a bird dropping us off some Chick-fil-A, we might be a little wary of that. That might seem a little strange. But back then for them, that would have been, they would have known that was from God. Because the symbolism of this particular type of bird delivering food was, that was normal. That was there. Okay, yeah. A raven. Okay, we'll name him Chuck. Chuck is bringing us food in the morning and at night. I try to make this as relatable as possible, because for me, this is strange. This is crazy. It is, it's crazy. It's strange. Yeah. Nobody, nowhere but God. So right. In my finite mind, I need to see this as, okay, that's Uber Eats in the air. That would be a drone delivering it. Okay. That makes sense to me. Okay. And I guess, do you want to do the recap as to why the drought was even the drought?
Yes. Address that part.
So King Ahab, I'll start there because obviously we can just say Genesis chapter 3. So moving a little bit further, Ahab, it started out, he was really called the pouting king, if I'm not mistaken, because he had, there was a vineyard that was really close to his, and he was upset that Naboth wouldn't sell it to him. And so he went boo-hooing and cried to his wife, and his wife Jezebel, we know Jezebel. Jezebel was like, oh, I got that for you, boo. And she went and she signed the letters and put his signet ring on it, and they had Naboth killed. And but God was like, oh, no, no, no. Here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill one of my people. So it starts this, they were already worshiping idols, but this is where it was that last straw in my mind. It's like, you know what? Here, no, no. So the wrath starts to come. And Elijah, this is actually in chapter 17. This is the first time we even hear about him. There's no mention of him anywhere else until chapter 17. He's mentioned in Chronicles, of course, but he just shows up. And what that tells me is this was enough. Like, obviously people knew him, but now he has something worth writing about. This is now, oh, you called the king out and we're going to have a drought. And because we're doing this idol worship and Jezebel has all of these Asherahs and the craziness of that. I mean, just imagine the red light district on steroids. That's what they were doing back then, because it was. And God said, not anymore. But what I loved about the fact that even with all that idolatry, there were still people who were faithful to God. There were still people who said, no, I am not going to bow down to your Baals. I am not going to bow down to these idols. And God calls them out as well. So we have this corrupt king who, in some instances, it seems as though he wants to worship God. He wants to perhaps give his life over, but he's surrounded by the wrong people. He definitely has the wrong wife. Let's clear that out right now. Because, woo, sis, I was like, ooh, that would be that mean girl for real. But he's not surrounded by the right people. And I think he wants to in some ways. So maybe he's the Judas of the Old Testament in that circumstance, because he is very wealthy. They have all of this trade and things are happening. So sorry, not trying to get long-winded. But Ahab didn't have it going on. And of course, it stems from his father, Omri. Somebody looked that up. I want to say that was his father. But again, it's just that evil generational curse, if you will, is still following him. And King Ahab, none of his children were going to rule. Like, that was another pronouncement of wrath that was going over his family, too. That happens later. But yeah, I hope I summarized enough to get you all reading, because that's the point. You have to read this word for yourself, because a summary is not going to get it.
Right, right.
This is the best reality.
You can walk verse by verse, and there's so much here, but I want to encourage you to to renew that fire, to kindle that fire, to be like, man, I want to get back in that word. I remember that story, and I remember how she related to this. So yeah, no, that was a great summary. And the gist of it is, there was a lot of sin and God was sick of it.
Sick of it.
And we see God's mercy and all these great things, but we see him just being sick of it too. And so that's exactly what led to this pronouncement of this drought that we see here in chapter 17. So for you, Tori, what was the reason why you chose this specific story as why you wanted to share about this on the podcast?
Well, I think for me, this settled in my spirit in a different way, simply because there are times when I know that God has called me to speak a truth that is not good. It's not going to go well for those people. And there have been times I've looked back in the past and it's like, okay, I need you to speak this person. I'm like, that's not good. You see, no, sir. I think somebody else, and I had my Moses moment. But at the same time, what really sticks out is how he provides after that. Because it's like, okay, you know, I want you to do it, but then I got you. I'm going to hide you away. I'll make sure that they're not going to find you. You're going to be fine. I'm going to seclude you. But I need you to pronounce this word. I need you to do these things. But just trust and believe that you are secure within me. So that's why this particular story speaks out, especially with ministry. I am a woman. So there are times when it's not, what's the word I'm looking for, appropriate for me to say certain things. So I've had to do the workaround and hand pass off a note to someone else of a different gender in order to have that get to where it needs to go. And God has had to stop me. It's like, no, you can say it. It's fine, because I'm not doing it in the pulpit. I'm not pronouncing something over a pastor without having spoken to them directly first. So things in right order. But God is just, oh, he's so amazing. So amazing with this story and showing again, almost like a Garden of Eden. Again, we see someone sitting beside a river flowing and his provision. Again, we see that. And then as his story ends, we see him sitting under a tree. So all this, these bookends, it's, we could be here for a year just discussing this, this story for me. But it is very much how God continues to provide, no matter what he tells you to do. He's not going to tell you to do something and then drop you off in oblivion and be like, I hope you're going to be all right after that.
Right.
That's not the God we serve. Not
the I love God that. And yeah, you're right. We could go on and on, because if even if you were to look at the rest of 1 Kings chapter 17, we see the Lord continue to provide with Elijah after he moved him away from the brook. He provides through a widow, which once again is a very unusual type of provision, because widows are the ones that are normally asking other people for, you know, provision. And we could see that she was not doing well. But we can see how God just, man, he is so faithful to provide. And I know I've seen that in my own life as well. And I love specifically not just, oh, wow, God provided, but I love that it was unusual provision. I think that's the part that like, he does things in such a way that, you know, this was only God. I've heard different teachings about the ravens, and they say that it's almost even unusual for the ravens to be the one, because a lot of times they don't necessarily return back. Like it's not in their nature to return back to a specific place. But God said, I created you. You'll do what I want you to do for my prophet, for my child. And like I said, going on with the widow as well, if you continue to read in this chapter. And so that's something that just really encourages me as I'm reading the scriptures, because we should always be finding a way to see how it applies to us. And this is absolutely a great way to see that, is knowing that no matter what things look like around you, no matter what other people have come in their way, that doesn't have to be your portion. Like, God has something specific set aside for you as you're obedient. Because here's the part. Everybody wants to say, yes, God will provide. But there's also an obedience that's there too. If we look at verse 5, after the Lord gave him instruction, it says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He didn't know why. It may not have made sense. He may have known that area. And he's like, why is he taking me to a brook when you just told me there's going to be a drought? Make it make sense.
There's a whole nother layer to that too, because he sent him, this brook is the east of the Jordan. And we know from Joshua that the east of the Jordan, that's where the Reubenites and all of them had settled. They chose that land. They did not want to go into the quote unquote promised land because they had abundant cattle. They had all these people. So they settled east of the Jordan. That was a whole nother thing that stood out to me. I said, woo.
I love that.
Woo.
I love that you went there.
I mean,
the knowledge. Yes.
I said, okay, hold on. First off, he's sending them to this place where he can really hide in plain sight. This was the first witness protection program. Okay. I'm just saying. Let's be real.
Yeah, it was. God had him set apart.
I mean,
yeah. Woo.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that whole east of the Jordan thing, I said, wait a minute, there's something to this. There's more to that.
And I love that you brought that up, because sometimes it's a matter of not knowing, and that's fine. Sometimes it's a matter of we just skip over and think it doesn't matter. My Bible teacher has always said, if it's in there, there's a reason for it. He said, down to the these and the a's and the it's, the most smallest of words, there's a reason why a word is singular instead of plural, or vice versa, or whatever the case is. And so we have to make sure that we are doing the work to see what it's all about. But yeah, there was so much, and along with God being an unusual type of provider, he's so intentional. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to realize that he already had everything set apart. He already had told Raven number 1, 2, and 3, this is your next assignment. Pack your bags. It's time to go. My prophet's on the way. He already had things in line. And I know I've seen that in my own life where I saw God's provision, but only because I was in this space at that time and that person was there. And I was like, wait, like, how did this all work out? Only God.
Only God.
Only God. Don't get me started. I'm going to keep going before I have church on this podcast.
Listen, we will have it together, darling. Come on. Come on. Because,
So I know that verse about the east of the Jordan, were there any other verses within this passage that really like jumped off the page to you?
Do you really want to listen? You talked about we wasn't going to do word by word, line by line. Come on now. Come on. Oh my goodness. That was the one, because I did not pay attention to it the first time I read it. And then of course, with the ravens in and of themselves and what you added as far as, yes, those birds are not used to giving up anything. So that's another lesson in and of itself, as far as them returning. And I want to say that as far as sustaining, what brought to mind as far as why he was moved, because it doesn't say, scripture doesn't say why God dried up the brook that he was obviously replenishing and filling, but he had to move to someone else. And I got to thinking, I said, okay, people, if there was a drought, what's your natural thing? You're going to start looking for water. You're going to start looking for it, because King Ahab was actually, he was out looking for water. So at that point, God was saying, I'm not providing for these wicked people, because that's why I have the drought to begin with. So I'm going to need you to move so I can dry this up. But also remembering that God brought him to that place. And I think that it must have been secluded enough that no one else noticed it. No one else was being fed by it or even knew it was there. Maybe there were some animals that were benefiting, who knows? But I think at that point, other people knew that that brook was still, it still had water in it. So therefore God was like, we're going to dry that up. And I need you to move so you can still be okay. And that obedience that followed, because who? But God would tell you, okay, I'm going to feed you with ravens, and then I'm going to send you to someone who doesn't have anything. I'm going to send you somewhere that these people are literally waiting to die, but I'm going to send you there, and it's going to be fine. Because that
okay.
makes sense.
That makes sense. That, yeah, no that's, there's so many good things. Once again, I've heard like a more in-depth teaching about this, and specifically the Brook Cherith is kind of like in between a sliver of like kind of like two mountains, and so it's a very narrow area, so it was very secluded. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's interesting, and I kind of want to go there for a second, because
let's go. Come on. Okay,
let's go. Let's do it. Pack your bags, we're going.
Yes, let's
go. So Elijah was obedient, he did what he was called to do, he was provided for, but then, you know, now he notices the brook drying up, and he's like, oh you want me to move? And in that moment, it doesn't say anything, but I wonder what Elijah was kind of thinking in that moment, because, you know, he's like, man, I've just had all this supernatural provision. God is coming through. He's like, I knew you would do it. Thank you, ravens. And then he's like, the water's looking a little low here.
Hello.
You know? And then he's like, oh, so now I want you to go, and I've commanded a widow to feed you.
Right.
Granted, he has history with God at this point. Mm-hmm. So he kind of is like, okay, I've seen you do some amazing things. I know you can do it again. But there is also a human side of like, that don't make sense. Like, it's essentially the same as like asking a homeless person to give you money. Like, you know? And it's like, why, how are you going, why, you know? But God does things way more detailed than we do. He sees more intentionally and the bigger picture far better than we do. And that's where that trust comes in. And because this story has a lot of different aspects, it has the provision, it has protection, but it also has the obedience from Elijah's point of view several times. And going on into the rest of 1 Kings, we see how God used Elijah to bless the widow too. So it went both ways. But if, when he first got that instruction, he didn't know that. you know? And so that's something that stuck out to me, because there's a lot of things that God has called me to do, asked me to do over the years, specifically within the last year and a half or so. And all of them don't just make sense. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll just go do it right now. You know, some of them are like, I don't know about that one, but okay. So God is so intentional and sovereign, and we have to believe that in order to see more of his blessings unfold in our lives.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Because what if Elijah decided that he was going to wait for God to replenish the brook? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe he was thinking, oh, maybe he just wants me to be still right now. Maybe God just wants me to meditate on what I've already, maybe he wants me to fast.
Right. We will spiritualize this thing down to the bone. And he's like, just go, get up and go. I told you the brook is dry.
Because then the word of the Lord came to him and said,
right,
let me fast about it first, because you took all my water and food away anyway. So therefore I can just do that. And no, I think that I could imagine Elijah in this moment where he is, we don't know how long he was there, but this time that he was spending at quote unquote a retreat and witness protection, that he is able to completely meditate and pray and be so close to God in this moment, because he's not surrounded by anyone except for the ravens, which, okay, I don't think maybe they talked to him. Completely possible. I'm not going to rule anything out at this point. Maybe they told him good morning and asked how he was. I don't know. Listen, I'm not trying to make, you know, light of it, but at the same time, I think that there is some weight to the belief that that could be the case, that God is not going to make you feel completely alone. And while he wasn't showing his presence to him fully, as far as I'm going to pass in between these clouds and, you know, do this, but what I will do is speak through the animals that I created and make sure that you don't lose your mind out here by yourself, because there's the other part.
Yeah. And that is another side of the intentionality that God has, because God will bless you, but he considers all details, right?
All the details.
I give this example, and I actually wrote this devotional. I don't know if it was from this chapter specifically. I think it was, but I wrote it for our given purpose, or our daily purpose. And it was about just God caring about all the details. And the example that I used was, y'all, so I love surprises. I love throwing surprises for people. I used to not be as detail oriented as I am now. So I left out a couple of details planning a surprise for my friend. It was my friend's like 19th or 20th birthday. And I was like, oh, I have the best idea. We're going to go kayaking. It's going to be amazing. I'm just going to surprise my friend and say, hey, I'm going to do something for your birthday. Meet me at my house at such and such time. My friend pulls up, like, nice outfit. Jean, you know, nice jeans, nice shoes, all this stuff. And I was like, okay, yay, I'm excited, blah, blah, blah. It's still not clicking. I have not told my friend we're going kayaking. You need specific things to go kayaking. You can't just pull up at anything. So, yeah, we got, and my friend was like, where are we going? So halfway, I was like, we're going kayaking. And my friend kind of looked down like, and this, did you bring extra clothes for me? And I said, oh. But my friend was a good sport. My friend got in the boat. I mean, nice jeans, very expensive shoes on. Got in the boat. We had the time of our lives. I was prepared. I had kayaking clothes on. My friend, on the other hand, we had stopped by the mall on the way back and get some new clothes, because my friend was drenched in the water, you know, the water getting in the boat. Mm-hmm. My friend got wet draws now. Like, it was not a fun time.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah, I felt pretty bad after that. My friend was a good sport, but I realized I should have thought this out better. But praise God. Unlike me, God is intentional enough to see the big picture, to know all the details that need to be arranged, to make sure that you are fully taken care of. So God wasn't just like, here's food, here's water, or just one or the other. He made sure that there was both. He made sure he had a little bit of interaction with something, a raven, something coming down, give him a little to keep him sane. And then he was like, okay, we're moving. I got you. The pieces are shifting. And so that's my encouragement to people that are reading the story, watching this video, listening to the podcast, be confident enough in God to know that He has all the pieces. Like, we, you know, if we're going along with Sunday school stories, let's talk about Sunday school nursery songs. He's got the whole world in His hands. We sing it. We got to ask ourselves, do I believe that He has the whole world, that He is literally holding the world on its axis, spinning it at just the right 1,000 miles per hour, however fast the earth is spinning right now, and all these other things that have to all be working right for me to just be sitting here breathing, living, talking. And so let that be an encouragement. Even if you've not really stepped out on faith before, be confident enough to know that the God that is literally controlling the entire universe, He's got you too.
That's so good. That's so good. That right there, just to
that
know.
That part.
That part. I'm good right there.
That's, right. The end.
I mean, honestly, to know that He does, like, He cares for the smallest of the details, and that summarizes everything for me. Amen. Because, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
That's almost another preaching moment, but I'm a...
I know. I'm like, shut up in my bones. So for you, with picking the story and seeing how it applies to your life, what are things that you have learned just from these life experiences relating to this passage?
Well, obviously the obedience, obviously going places that seem secluded, seem out of the way, seem like a witness protection, like, okay, this seems so strange. I have a whole family. They know there are people, there are times when I think God calls us to certain destinations, and He has us there for what seems to be either a really long time or a short time. There were points in my life where I'm just studying like one passage and I want to get past it. I'm like, okay, can we move on? No, I need you to stay right here because you haven't really grasped the fullness of this. And I remember studying, you know, there are just certain chapters of the Bible that I could not let go of because every time I would pick it up, there would be something new that was revealed. And again, this is going back to Elijah and having that alone time with God, because He did something that set some things in motion. Obviously, He came in with some correction. He came in with some wrath. He said, okay, this is what God is telling you. We hadn't seen Elijah. We didn't know who he was. We did not know him from Adam at this point. So he just comes in and he does this. And I feel that way a lot of times when I want to speak up and tell someone something. They don't know me. They haven't seen me. They may have heard of me, may have seen me at Walmart, but they don't know who I am. And I have to go in and tell them something that may not be joyful news. They could rejoice in it. It could be a very much a, you know, a Jonah moment, like, okay, repent. But that's not always the case. And then God hides me after that. God is, you know, and it's not even my introvertism. It's God saying, okay, I need you to come on back with me now, because now I'm going to protect you. I am shielding you from whatever else may happen. And I've seen that play out in my life so many times when I have looked back and I have found out, because of social media is a powerful thing. And I can look back and say, oh my gosh, I was there. That was me. Oh my goodness, look what happened. And not in a boastful way, but I am just like, oh God, look what you did. Mm-hmm. Look how you saved me. Look how you kept me. All glory, all honor, sweater on, prostrate on the floor. Because that's what I do. And I cry and it gets ugly. But this story is fine. It's really about the obedience and knowing that even when we are obedient, that there are times where we don't have to just stand there and stand firm and keep repeating it. It's we say it and we dip.
Yeah.
Say what God told you to, and you move out of the way and let Him do what He needs to do, and not feel like I need to, okay, you know that the drought coming. You probably should save some water and some jars. You better go down to that brook now. No, He didn't. That ain't what God told me to do. But there are times when I feel like I should. This story reminds me, like, dip. Come your way, so you're not caught up in this.
Yeah, move when God moves, because he knows why He is asking you to move, you know. And at least with Elijah, he got a heads up, like, hey, True. You know, I'm moving you on because I got somebody else that's going to take care of you. Sometimes you don't always even get that much instruction. You go back to Genesis 12, God said, Abram, go to a land that I will show you. I ain't even going to tell you where, but just start walking.
Just start walking. just go.
Yeah. And we see his faith, and his faith was actually mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter. And so we can just see that God honors our obedience, even if we don't have all the instruction and we don't necessarily understand everything is to move how, when we don't know the who, what, when, where, why, how, but we can trust that God is sovereign enough to know all the pieces, to be in charge and in control of everything. And it's always for our good and for his glory. Somehow, some way, you may not understand it for 5, 10 years down the road, but it's for your good and for his glory. And he will make himself so known, so evident. And you will just look up and say, wow, you did it. You did it again. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I'm telling y'all this from a place of experience. This is not like, oh, that's cute, that's a little cliche. Mm-hmm. No, literally trust God. Please, please trust God. I'm begging you to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He knows all the pieces. So for someone that's maybe in a situation where they are needing to step out in obedience or needing God's provision to just really show up, what would be a word of encouragement that you would give them either through your own experience or through this scripture?
Definitely through this scripture. I will say that the more you read the word, the more the word gets in you and you can't ignore it. It's really difficult to start ignoring something once you start reading every day and start paying attention to the words you're reading. I know that with all the things that are vying for our attention, I cannot urge you enough as a woman of God, a man of God, whomever is listening to this, that if you can get you a brick and mortar Bible, that's what we're calling them now, a brick and mortar Bible. Yes, come on. And turn the pages, have that weight in your hand. Put that in your hand so you, as you're reading, you can feel the life that it is within your hands and not just on the screen. I use my screen too. I'm not saying you have to get rid of it, but when you can, to highlight, to dog ear, to cry over the pages, that's what you need to do. But as far as encouragement, when you need obedience, when you need to be obedient, when you need that strength to step out in front of people that you don't think will even listen to you. And then when they do, what happens then? It's like, oh God, they are listening to me. Lord, now what? What do I do with these people? They're following me. What do I do? That's where the word comes in, because he will show you. It is there up and down. Read the Psalms, read the Proverbs, know how to be that kind person, be love, be patient, be kind, have the fruit of the Spirit. So as far as encouragement, when it comes to the scripture and the obedience of it, I ask myself, would I be that obedient to the point where God tells me, I need you to go and speak to a king. I need you to go and speak to a ruler, someone who is more important in this world than you.
Yeah.
I need you to go and speak to that person and then not tell them that all is good and all is well, but to deliver news that could get you killed.
Mm-hmm.
I need that type of obedience and strength and to be courageous. So that's where this story for me, it's like, okay, I can trust God. If God brought that word to me and he told me I'm the one who needs to deliver it, no matter who it is, that this person is not greater than God.
Yes.
And anything that needs to happen, regardless if, you know, he takes my life in the process, then that was his will to do. But I need to be in alignment with him, because there is an eternity. There is a place for me. There is a room set for me. Hallelujah. Okay. Not going to preach. Sorry. Bring it back. but there is more to this life than just what's happening right now. There's more to this than just what's happening on social media, and even with the politics and the church things and all that, there's still more to it, because there's a spiritual factor. There is a whole spiritual realm that if we aren't connected to it, we are going to feel like we're always caught off guard. We're not going to be obedient because we don't understand what God's will is for our lives. So if you're in a situation that you need the obedience, then yes, read the scripture. Yes, read many scriptures. Matter of fact, if you have the concordance in the back of your Bible, look up the word obedience, or I think it's just obey. I have to look that. But anyway,
you'll find it.
You can Google it, you know. You can Google obedience in the Bible, and it will give you so many scriptures where it will help solidify and give you strength and purpose as to why you need to do this, because it was for you. It was your destiny to do these particular things, because when you do what you're supposed to, then other things within God's will line up. And it seems like things are happening that are just like, wow, this is awesome. Because you did your part, because you did your part, all these other things work together for the good of those who love the Lord.
Would you look at that?
Look at that, Romans 8:28. Come on. Yes.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I love the very first thing you said. I don't want to say it wrong.
The more you read the word, the more the word gets in you.
That part. Yes. That part. I tell people that our Bible is our ammunition against the enemy. This is how we fight. And this isn't just me saying that because it sounds like something cool. No, literally Matthew 4, we see that example, Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, and he fought back 3 times with scripture. Mm-hmm. We're in a fight. We can't stop that fight from happening. But what we can do is know how to fight properly. And it's through the word of God. You can't fight with something you don't know. You can't encourage yourself with something you don't know.
Come on.
Renew your mind with the word of God. How?
Oh, you know you want to go to David real quick. You know you want to. Go ahead and do it, baby. Go ahead. You know, like, you want to.
I have hidden your word in my heart that I would not sin against thee. Hidden the word. It has to be in there. It has to be in there. Anytime we see in scripture where the enemy was overcome, word of God.
Word of God.
Word of God. Yes. And it doesn't mean you have to be a theologian.
No, you do not.
You don't got to go to seminary, but you got to pick up your Bible every day. You do have to do that.
That makes you a theologian if you do pick up your Bible every day, as far
yes.
as
I'm concerned. Like, so. Don't leave this to the pastors at your church. Don't leave this to the Bible teachers that you know to be the ones to teach you and instruct you. Learn to understand God's word. And this is why I actually have the ebook available for you all to be able to study God's word. Y'all, I'm gonna let y'all know, I've done the work for you. No excuses. I done made it nice and simple. Go ahead and get your copy.
Yes.
The links will be available. Yes. But make sure that you are doing your part to get in God's word so that you can know what it says for yourself, but also you can encourage yourself. Your pastor's not always going to be there. Your friends aren't always going to be around. Your mom or daddy, whoever has been the spiritual people in your life, they may not be available all the time, but the word of God will always be there along with God himself. And so get in your word. It's not just something to do just to go through a duty of being a Christian. It's for us. It benefits us. Anything that God instructs us or commands of us, or even just encourages us to do, it's for our good. So make sure you get in God's word, get a version that works for you, get some friends together if you want to stay encouraged, and read God's word. This will encourage you, and you will see God show up so evidently. You will see him just reveal himself, and you will go back to these same scriptures and say, hey, this is just like Elijah. Man, this is just like David fighting Goliath, whatever it is. Daniel in the lion's den. Man, this is just like Hannah giving birth to Samuel. You will see these scriptures come to life like never before. It's a process. It's a journey. Yes. Take your time with it. Don't just read just to read. Read to understand and apply it to your life.
Yes. Oh, amen to all of that. Yes, ma'am. Amen. And yes, thank you for doing the work for us with the book and everything. Come on, so we can
scripture
study
made
God's
simple.
Word.
Yes. Scripture made simple. It's here for y'all. My only desire with that is for the saints, the people in the church, to be equipped. The enemy does not have to win in your life, but if we don't know how to fight properly, he will, until we choose to walk in the victory that we have. So let that be an encouragement for y'all. God is intentional. He is a provider. As we're obedient, he shows up in such an amazing way, and he just makes himself so known to us. So get in God's word and let him just encourage you and renew you daily.
Yes, it is a daily renewal. Hallelujah.
Amen. So, Tori, I know that people are going to be wanting to follow you and see what your ministry is about and all the things you have going on. And you have some cool stuff. I already got the little inside scoop here, but I want you to share it with the people. Tell them where they can find you on social media, as well as the latest events and things that you have coming up, please.
Yes, and thank you. Thank you again for just this time because, yeah, I know we could sit here for another hour or two, but this has been fantastic. And I hope that everyone enjoyed somewhat of an introduction and a little bit of backstory and they will read this word. But you can find me, Hello Tori, on Instagram. You know what? Let me make it simple, www.torislaughter.com. And all the links and all the things are there for you to follow and find me on the social medias. I am a huge email person. I love me some email. I'm sorry, it's like the 8-track of yesteryear, but I love me some email. I don't mind a direct message, but you give me an email and I'm all over it. It's like, yes, okay, ooh, graphic. Ooh, I can click the hyperlink. I get excited about this, the small things. It's the small details for me. But March 2023, the 23rd and 24th, the I Pray Women's Conference is we're having that in Alta Vista, Virginia. Very first women's conference I've ever done, ever. And I am super excited just being obedient and walking in faith. God is showing me some amazing things as far as the revival and why we need to pray, how we need to pray, when we need to pray without ceasing. But the point of prayer is that communication and intimacy with God, and to know that you have other women of faith who will not only pray alongside you, but with you, and hopefully will create a nice network of those who are praying so that we can break past these superficial things that are going on, the stuff that just seems to not go well in our lives, and it just keeps the cycle happening. And I'm sick of it. I mean, honestly, I'm sick of it. I know a lot of people got to be sick of it. So we're having this I Pray Women's Conference. We're going to eat. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. I'm going to cry. I'm going to have on a sweater. I'm going to be on the floor. that's probably the gist of it. But Stephanie,
That's the
along with
itinerary.
that's the itinerary. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But Stephanie is going to be a part of it as well. So again, it's just going to be an amazing time, and I am so excited for the next year, well, for this year, and how God is going to use both of our ministries, how they're going to collide, how we're going to collaborate, what we're going to do as branches within this olive tree, if we will. Can I say that? Is that people will get it
Yes.
later? Okay, we're in the olive tree. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell. That's you can find me at the website and tickets, all of that, www.torislaughter.com. Oh, and then I guess the daily purpose. Yes. So if you have not read your Bible, and if once you get Stephanie's book, and she have you already announced the bookmark? Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that because it'll be next year.
Okay, great. I just want to make sure. So her book with the bookmark so you can remember exactly where you are. I think that's just an incredible idea. I will also have a daily purpose Bible study and devotional. Stephanie is gracing us with her devotionals for this year as well. But we take the Bible, we are reading it cover to cover. It takes you about 20 minutes every day. 20 minutes of reading every day, and you would have by December 31st have finished reading the Bible once through. That does not mean you don't go back and study and read and devour, but a lot of people have not read the Bible cover to cover, and it's so many different lessons within it. So just doing that the first time, the hunger, it's there. It's like the appetizer, and then you want to go back in and you want to eat some more. You want to have some more, and you want to teach some, and you want to give people some stuff. So that's what we're doing, a daily purpose Bible study and devotional every day, 7 days a week. It's available podcast as well as in written form. So it is a blog as well. Okay,
Love
that's
that. Love that. Thanks so much for sharing. Y'all, make sure if you are in the Virginia area, or even if you're not and you've just been looking for a time of prayer, I want to encourage you strongly to sign up, register for the conference. We would love to have you there and be a part. As Tori said, prayer is so powerful, and our nation, our own lives, we need it more than ever. And this is how we overcome the enemy. This is how we renew ourselves. This is how we see things change as we intercede on behalf of others, as we pray for our nation, as we just step into the presence of God and in faith, believing for things to happen. So thank you, Tori, for being obedient to even do that and host that. I'm so excited. And this is going to be a game changer. The enemy treading on his head. We're done. We're tired of it. Sick of it.
Sick of
that's
it.
That's the hashtag for the conference.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sick of it. Yes.
Sick of it. No, but seriously, I do. I'm very excited about that. And also along with that, just thank you for being on this episode. I'm honored to be your friend, but also honored to have you on the podcast and for you to share those amazing nuggets of wisdom and Bible knowledge and just your presence as a woman, dare I say, woman of color, that is here present to just show the people, look, you can live for Jesus. You can be cute. You can be knowledgeable. You can be powerful in the kingdom of God. You can just live your best life. You can live your purposeful life in Christ. So thank you for just being that example. And I know that the listeners will be very encouraged with what you had to share. So thanks so much again for being on.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I do value our friendship and the ministry that we have created together and just how amazing you are. You are truly a gift, a woman of color. And just... You are amazing. And I'm just so grateful that God brought us together. I truly am. And with Christian Girls Pop, CG Pop, come on. It's just the spread and the different avenues and the awakening and the revival, dare I say, that's happening. I am just excited to see all of that. And so grateful that God has again enlightened and ignited us to continue spreading the gospel, to be on fire, women for God. Come on.
Yes, let's do it. Yes. To the day we die.
To the date. Come on. Okay.
As y'all can see, we real churchy. So we're gonna shut it down before the ushers have to come in and drag it.
Listen.
Oh man. Well, thanks so much again. And thanks for the listeners and the watchers for being a part of this episode. If you have not already, make sure you follow Christian Girls Pop on Facebook and Instagram at Christian Girls Pop. You can check out our website, www.christiangirlspop.com, and you can check us out on YouTube at Christian Girls Pop. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode, and as always, remember, Jesus already loves you so much. Don't you ever forget that.